to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast. Our almost never look into Seattle Sounders FC. Fat guys.
Our quarterly look.
Quarterly look. How's the last 3 months gone for you, Brandon? And some other stuff for dudes who are real busy complaining about a sport they can't play. Hey, I'm your host from Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room on the pitch and in the stats booth at Lumen Field. He's sexy skanking Brandon.
Yeah, he skanks. See my lower half, but I'm skanking right now.
Oh boy, that is a helicopter skank. That's what we got going on there.
Hey, speaking of skanking, so today we're going to bring back something that we haven't done in a while.
Great.
Before we do that later, I want to talk about this tweet that I saw from at Arden Ruth here on Twitter, who says, "Can a Sounders fan confirm what does ECS yell when Schmetzer is walking on and off the field? As we all know, it's Brian Schmetzer's Rave Green Army." She asks, "I think it's, quote, Brian Schmetzer makes me horny." and Matt, who I think is her partner or husband or something like that, thinks it's Brian Schmetzer has an upset tummy.
I wish it was makes me horny, for the record. So ECS, if you're listening now, right now, let's change that. Yeah. Brian Schmetzer makes me horny. Do us a quick solid to click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars. 1 for every episode we've done this season.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
From, I don't know, somebody who still plays on the team to somebody else who still plays on the team. I don't know. It's been long enough.
From Roldan to Roldan.
Yeah, there you go.
This week, the hashtag Sounders out, Sounders FC take on the "Your coach has more trophies than you, Deb United." That's amazing.
How's Deb doing, huh?
Oh, she's stressed out. She's got company coming to town this weekend, Brandon, so she's unable to function because of the stress that's keeping her up of what meal she's going to serve to what freaking day or whatever.
Is it Gonzalo Pineda?
Oh, I wish it was. I wish she was friends with Gonzalo Pineda. That'd be so awesome. I just go over there and I'm like, "Pineda?" And he's like, "Señor." full90podcast.com is where you can find our infos and whatnot to keep up with us and the show and everything else for when we're not active. Brandon sometimes runs our Twitter still, so that's nice.
So here's the deal, Brandon. Still.
I gotta lay the responsibility here a couple of different ways. One, I've officially been dropped from the alternative station in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And thus concludes almost 2 years of having to pretend like the Portland Timbers, the Fartland Timbers aren't that bad. Okay? And I would just like to say that as a professional who is now smack talking and not unprofessionally, I never took any shots at Timbers fans or the Timbers, and I just kind of reported it straight what was happening, and so be it. I'd ask the question a lot, "Are you traveling up to Seattle for the big game this weekend?" This and that, but never showing any real allegiance. Well, I would just like to take this moment to re-solidify my stance in this world of f*** the Timbers.
There you go. How did that feel?
Already 2 swears in a show that I said no swearing, but here we are.
Now, Tropic Sound will be super proud. Now, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. And
you think of it, okay? Because I have one more thing to say about the about my apology series here. You think about Portland and Fartland, or maybe you just, he's making a face like maybe he just forgot that his wife was in the dryer spinning. And she's on her way to her untimely demise right now. It's not that.
No, he's it's not confirmed. That. I just completely lost all track of my thought. So,
okay. Well, the other thing I was going to say that go ahead.
Now, I think the Sounders made it easier for you to not trash talk Portland by losing to them handedly every time at home that Fartland came to play. So,
to be fair,
like they put you in a position where it was a lot more difficult probably to gloat over your non-local market.
Yeah, the I think it was in the last 9 matches, only one of them has been won at home by the two teams.
Yeah.
So like each team just goes in the other place and just shuts it down, which is the weirdest like kind of derby type, or derby, whatever they say. It's kind of the weirdest rivalry thing that your home crowd isn't doing anything other than riling up the other team, which I find to be so strange.
Do you think it's like the Clint Dempsey effect, where it's you get into your rival's stadium and you feed off of the negative energy? They're like the things from freaking Stranger Things that feed on fear or whatever it is.
It's like it's like a dark side energy. You feed off the hate, like.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. Yeah, the Cascadia Derby is Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
All right,
and Ben Solo.
Yeah, yeah.
So the other part of taking responsibility is that we haven't podcasted in like, well, at least on this show, in like a pretty long time, yeah. And since we last podcasted, I feel like the Sounders have scored. Or taken away like maybe 5 total points. And so, hand in the air, other than last night's big win over Frisco. Other than that, I think it's kind of on us that, you know, we set the date yesterday that we would come back and pod today, and they win.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just got to say,
you're going to have to take our word for it. The listeners are going to have to take our word for it that last night before the match, Gregor said, can you podcast tomorrow? And I didn't respond to him until this morning, but I had fully anticipated to say that I would. Now, does this mean that, so sometimes something that you kind of drilled into me, and I heard somebody actually making fun of fans who get team tattoos recently. Like, we both have the stars on our on our forearms, and they were like, oh, like you were part of the team. But you and I have always, or you more so than I, have always, you know, when we talk about the team, we say, well, we didn't do this against Portland, or we didn't, you know, win the supporter shield, because like that's how you talk about a team, and Sounders do a good job of making the community feel like they are part of the club. Now, we always try to say we on the team that we didn't do anything for. Yeah. Do you feel like that now we can maybe lay claim to that we a little bit more now that we've realized that the podcast is actually the light side of the force that feeds the Sounders?
We've got Garth Lagerway, right?
Darth Lagerway, of course, yeah.
Darth Lagerway, sure, thank you. That's very important. And then you've got us. I think equally as important is this podcast to the whole front office at Seattle Sounders, right?
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I think we can say we now. Now that we are effectively a huge part of their success and failure.
Right, obviously.
I'm just saying that the entire time that we've podcasted, Brandon, I think they've won 2 championships and a Champions League, so... you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now, I have a little anecdote to give you. I was in Seattle, or in the general area for a week, and I was driving down to IKEA, and on my way down. There was no time. I got to get stuck in that traffic when that explosive hydrogen truck thing or whatever started exploding on South I-5.
So you weren't actually sick. You were just here. You're just a liar.
No, I was sick. I was for sure sick. Yeah. now I on my way to IKEA, I drove down whatever that that road is where the new Sounders facility is, and holy crap, dude! It was so cool to see. First of all, the Sounders having the sign on that street, and then to see the building and know that, like, holy crap, that whole thing. Is going to be devoted to this. And I know that this is such old news at this point. Like, this is something we covered.
But just to see it.
Yeah, it's so cool to see it in person. As somebody who used to get to go to Starfire, and even when I worked for the club, you would be down there and you would still feel like it was like, oh, yeah, you can put your desk over there, Garth, you know, or like, hey, Brian, you can have the office right there. And it's just like some like intern had to pick up all of their crap and move away so that Schmetz could have a desk in the facility. So anyway, it just seems really cool that the Sounders have come such a long way, and like to be able to see that and, you know, kill 2 birds with 1 stone. They get to be really close to IKEA. So, you know, for all of these new players that are coming in and they have to furnish these new apartments and stuff, Obafemi Martins would have loved it.
How do you say goalposts in Swedish? Because that's where they're getting them for the practice facility. Also, did you see any undead horse skeletons from the new facility? Because I know they're digging stuff up to start making fields and stuff, so I figure that they're probably going to unearth something.
Yeah, Gluey. I did not run into Gluey while I was down there. I was thinking about this recently, and this has nothing to do with how the Sounders have been on or off the field recently, but the Sammy the Sounder has been in a lot of those like Summer with the Sounders promotions, right? Mm. But I feel like it's only like he's like in and out of, or he or she, I think Sammy is, maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. Sammy is like in and out of whether or not how actively involved he is with like Sounders games and Sounders events and things. And I want the Sounders to like go full orca penis and like just bring Sammy to everything. Like Sammy should be like, look at Arsenal, right? With Gunnarsaurus, you know, like this. It's like this is a Premier League club that takes itself very seriously for the most part. It's been a while, maybe. But that still has like a dinosaur mascot running around on the pitch. And the Sounders, like, you can't take yourselves too seriously that you can't have an orca wearing a rave green jersey walking around.
All I ask is that if we commit to what you're suggesting, can we please get an actual like mascot builder to make an orca?
Sure, yeah.
Cause like,
no,
like Blitz,
you know, I love the fact that it's that Sammy is like cartoonish and not really like I feel like the thing with Blitz is that it's just like this is an aggressive looking bird that like wants to do backflips and ride a quad and stuff. I like that Sammy is like this harmless. So I go so there's a minor league baseball team in Spokane and they have three mascots. And one of the mascots, it's minor league baseball, right? Two of the mascots are just like your typical kind of like not like one's kind of probably a dinosaur. The other one kind of looks like, you know, an alien type thing. They're not like actual animals or anything like that. Their third mascot is Ribby, the red band trout. And it's this like very goofy looking trout costume that comes out. And it's my favorite by far. Like it doesn't look like it can do anything cool. It can just kind of run around and look like a trout. I love that about Sammy the Sounder, because they can just run around and just be a doofy orca, even though it is like an apex predator that like great white sharks will see in the wild. And like if a great white shark, I don't know if you saw this video recently of orcas just absolutely screwing up a great white, but like a great white will see in the wild, and if it sees an orca in a certain area of the water, it will not return to that part of the water for like years. Because it's like, I don't want any of that heat, right? Sammy the Sounder can just be the alpha without looking like it.
So I agree with all of what you're saying. I don't want to lose the comedy of it or the I don't know, whatever, the kitschiness
novelty,
of it.
Novelty, yeah.
Yeah, novelty, yeah. But a couple things in response. One, Casey Catherwood deserves all of the respect in the entire world because that guy ran multiple mascots at those Tacoma Stars games. I'd say the biggest mistake the Stars have ever made is getting rid of the halftime and nonsense that guy ran with four different mascots that couldn't do anything except for just fall down. And it was amazing, and his creativity. That guy deserves all of the respect in the whole world for entertaining. As an entertainer with an act, brilliant. But my point is not to de-sillifying the Sammy the Sounder. It's more about, rather than putting a pacifier around its neck and making it, you know, like the same quality as a candy kid at a rave and a set of, you know, silly PJs that goes like the hoodie PJs, which is what Sammy looks like now, just get like the person who made the Mariner moose to make a comically fun mascot. I just want it like Gunnarsaurus or that thing in Philadelphia or whatever.
I feel like the thing about the Mariner moose is that like and look, I'm not a furry, but he's kind of sexy.
I just have strong, you know, opinions about it.
like the thing about the Mariner moose is it's like we've it's not like Uncanny Valley where it looks too much like a human in order, but not enough like a moose. It's like still obviously a moose, right? But it's like why are we trying to make these like mascots like buff and like make him be like, what does the Mariner Moose look like without a shirt on? I've never thought that about Sammy Sounder.
No, it's just that it looks, like I say, it looks like pajamas that you would see a rave kid wearing. That's the problem. Is yeah. it's not the construction is not top tier. It's USL. It's not
sure.
MLS. And by top tier, I use that loosely, obviously. but you know, like it's not when you see the Philly Fanatic, that
sure.
is a character in itself because it has the right weight and it has the right movement and it's like well designed and they have a hilarious person inside of it.
Yeah.
When you see this thing, it's like what they get the like there's high schools that have better mascots in terms of like the build construction of it.
So
yeah, I don't need to know what the moose looks like without his shirt on or his pants off to compare wieners or something like that. I just need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously lying. I want to know what the Mariner Moose's weenus looks like.
So here's something. So I did. You've got me thinking. So I went to Google just to see if there is like any orca mascot out there that does look cool. And you would imagine that is going to be a limited amount of teams or locales that is going to use an orca as their mascot, right? Because
yeah.
there's only so many places where orcas are native to the area. Now, I just sent you an image of the best of the ones that I found. And so I'm going to need you to go look at that right now.
Yeah. Now, this is what I'm talking about.
Give it.
Yeah,
so
it's
this,
like...
What I've sent him is a... It's an orca costume. It's a person in an orca costume. Unless it's an orca in an orca costume, which would be cool. It's a person.
We don't know.
Yeah. We don't know. It is a person in an orca costume. The orca face is pretty aggressive, but I still think not so aggressive that it's, you know, going to scare kids. But it's wearing a top hat and a red bow tie. Make that bow tie rave green, and I think we're in business.
Oh, man. So this is what we currently have, which is like... a pajama suit with a foam head on it. And it's yeah. like the sleeves are terrible. And then the super huge jersey, like don't just get your like largest soccer fan jersey and put it on this, you know, this costume. Get maybe tailor ones. That way it's part of the suit or whatever. So that way it fits him and makes him look fashionable. I don't know what
yeah.
the right word is.
Yeah.
There's like, how to get a professional mascot costume? Like, I'm just Googling now at this point because I want to, like...
So something that I've learned... So, first of all, there's an entire community of people on the internet called furries who I think could help us out in this regard. Now, I've learned something. This will be something that interests you. And this is... We'll talk about the soccer, I promise. But
no,
this is something that will interest you. So, in Japan, there are... There is a trend, or I don't know if it's a trend or if it's just a thing that's done. So in Japan, they love their mascots. They like mascots for every business. Businesses go out there with like all sorts of different characters, caricatures, people in different costumes and things like that. How a lot of these mascots come about is that you will just have like some jabroni like you or me who will put together a mascot costume, like of some sort, and they'll put a lot of effort into it, like cosplay as an orca or something like that. And then they will go to these businesses and basically shop around themselves as this mat. Hey, do you want this sexy orca to wear a t-shirt with your brand's logo on it and to pass out flyers at the farmer's market? And like the companies would be like, yeah, okay, we will pay you for this. And like, this is
we're entertaining several offers right now. The stapler is the current winner, but we'll see.
But like maybe that's what needs to happen. Like maybe we need to commission a furry to put together an orca costume. Orcas don't have any fur, so would it still be like is furry just kind of all inclusive of all people who dress up like animals, or would you call it like a slicky?
No, I think it's like a plushie is what it really is, because you're
okay.
looking for a foam character, but furry just I think is what the name ends up being, and I think
yeah.
it probably comes from the furry Muppets or like the Jim Henson stuff or whatever, like Cookie Monster. By
yeah.
the way, on a further tangent, if you Google trying to get a Cookie Monster plush for a kid, they're all ridiculous looking. None of them actually look like Cookie Monster. They're all this like ridiculous like mockery. Even the licensed stuff from Sesame Street, I'm like, no, I want Cookie Monster, not some like other depiction of it, because you can get everyone else, no problem. But when you want Cookie, man, get out of here.
Me, Alistair P. Cookie.
You can tell what phase I'm going through in my child's life right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like at least like Tickle Me Elmos aren't a thing anymore, right? Like, I don't think that those are around anymore. I'm wondering about like a Tickle Me Cookie Monster. Speaking of
crumbs, just go everywhere.
So speaking of aquatic creatures, this is again tangent. Did you see this thing about a walking shark? I know. This for our other podcast, we have something to talk about. It's terrifying.
This is for our other podcast, Nerd Talk Plus, which you can find now on your Odyssey app or the podcast provider of your choice.
It's just a teaser. Next week, we're talking about walking sharks.
You're not going to give us anything? Just give us a nugget.
Basically, there's a shark, a species of shark that has been discovered that is it's not like bipedal and it doesn't have like little creepy crawler legs. It's found a way to go onto land and scoot itself across like rocks and things like that. Which, you know, in a million years, we're talking street sharks coming at us, and we're gonna be in some trouble there.
Don't worry, I'm Team Dolphin, so we're gonna be okay.
I'm Team Orca. I'm Team Sammy the Sam. I'm Team Bipedal Sammy Sounder. Sexy Sammy Sounder.
Top hat and all. He doesn't need a tuxedo, just a G-string.
I picture it like the, what's that frog from WB? Hello, my lady. Hello.
Yeah. All right. Well, you good?
Yeah. Yeah. Which brings us to...
I was thinking about just wrapping it up here. What'd you learn this week?
That's for our other podcast. Are the Sounders
again,
good?
Again, Nerd Talk Plus on the app or the podcast provider of your choice.
So the Sounders win 1-0 against FC Dallas. And it brings us to the question is, now that it's August, are the Sounders good again? Because I'm not sure if they were bad before or if it was just July.
Well, I think that, how do you say his name again? Rusnak? Is that how he says?
Yeah, yeah. I've
watched the video too many times now that I now am confused about it because I'm like, wait, I know how to say it. And now, yeah. Okay. Rusnak pre-match was interviewed and he was like, we have two substantial injuries to our center middle midfield that they're not going to be back for the year. It's long term to JP and to Obed. And so we're scrambling to make it work, and we're going to figure it out. But seeing Christian Roldan and Albert Rusnak back there together for once looked like it was really going to pan out. So, I don't know that it is just July. That's part of it for sure. Which is why I was saying,
always
I know I am, I'm sure I am, I'm Sounders till July. It's literally every time, everyone's really sick of it now, but... Yeah, but the notion that are they good or bad or is it just July? It's bad and July because they're effectively playing. Like, can you imagine if anyone gets hurt at this point? What happens? Like we got Will Bruin starting in central and like defensive midfield or whatever. Yeah. It is precarious at best. And what happened to Madranda? Did he just fall off? Like, is he just mailing it in this year? Because he was so important last year. You think that a guy like that could step up and help free up some... Anyway, I don't know or follow practice. But.
They've been in a position where they've had to use him out of position. Because the Sounders are they've been so hamstrung by injuries. Oh, crap, no. apparently it's hamstrings, anyway. Always. So they've been so just killed by injuries. Like Jao Paulo, obviously, I think the team has realized more than ever. With him out, Christian Roldan has been asked to do so much. Like every match that I've watched, it just seems like he's everywhere, which is awesome because he's a player that can do that, but not great because you don't want him to have to do that. You want Christian Roldan to be able to focus on the things that he can do well. And to be honest, like as we've seen more and more in this season and in past seasons, he actually can go forward extremely well. So if he's able to play out on the wing and then cover defensively when he needs to, great. But then as soon as you lose a player like João Paulo, and then you lose, which is crazy to say that we're, like, to think that we're saying this, is that Obed Vargas, you know, a 16-year-old who we're counting on, then all of a sudden Christian Roldan is being asked to, like, go everywhere. And I think that it just points to the fact that Christian Roldan is now the most, if not one of the most important players on the team when João Paulo is gone, because otherwise, like, João Paulo is the linchpin that holds the team together. Now, I get why fans might be upset. The Sounders haven't won a major trophy since freaking May. So we're in a drought. And I understand that, but you have to give Schmetz and the team some grace when they're playing without so many key players.
And until last night, without Rui Diaz, which is, you're not, yeah. The goals just aren't generated. Like, you're counting on Jordan to step up and score some goals. And not that he can't, but it's that your goal scorer is out. Your number nine is not there to do... You know, and that first season, that stat where it was like every 30 touches he scored a goal or whatever, and then we've since yelled about it. Just pass the ball, get Rui Diaz to the middle and pass it to him. Like, that's the one thing that freaking Nuhu couldn't do last night. All he had to do was just play the ball right. He was like running, you know, he sees that big goal in front of him. He hasn't scored before. Everyone's pressuring him to, when's that goal going to come? And he had the opportunity to dish it square to Rui Diaz and put it away 2-0. And he did not do that. And Rui Diaz was not happy. But anyway, the notion that the team is so beat up is a real deal.
Well, I want to give you some credit because something that you have been harking on for a long time that I was like, yeah, that could be, but maybe not, is that the actually, I feel like the Sounders defense has been a little suspect of the last month or so. And something that you had said for a long time is like, are we seeing the effects of having lost Jimmy Traore as an assistant coach? Because now all of a sudden you're seeing these players who had been solid, like Yamar, like Nuhu even, who was, I mean, a few months ago we were talking about all-star quality, possibly going to France in the first or second division to play there. And now I don't see that happening. I don't see him like putting it in the performances that would spark interest from a European side, unless they were like, look, we'll forget about everything except for before, you know, the African Cup of Nations.
How long until Wade Weber is doing that job, I wonder? A defender from his time playing, a guy who's leading that USL squad, the Tacoma Defiance out of Tequila, into such a good position. Like, his team is really killing it this year, and do you keep him at that to make sure that your up-and-comers are awesome, or do you put a guy that's so defense-minded into a position with the first team? It's a question to kick around. They know better than us, but like, I start looking at that. It's like, I agree that where is the obviously the defense is not as good as it was, and sure, this is it takes a while for the effect, sometimes for the effects of a coaching change to really be seen, and I think maybe we are seeing that. Question for you. This is my thing that I've been blowing up about recently is, when you're short, like, you're playing Rusnak out of position.
Yep.
Like, that's not his natural playing. Defensive midfield is not his natural spot. He could be scoring goals and you're in a goal drought a little bit, but then who do you play in central mid? Thank God that Christian Roldan played with Ozzy for so long, because he like learned how to play that number six role so well. And so he can, it's not where he's preferred, but he can fit into it and know what's going on. But when it comes to it, Nuhu is such a wild card. And he's playing so poorly in offense right now that we were talking before the match yesterday that every single run is up the field, turn around, pass it back. And then within the first 45 minutes, there he was. He did it like three times. He's at such a confidence crisis. Why not make him not the last line of defense? Why not make him sit in the middle of the field and control the game from there and not have to have, though they like to play out of the back and he would be a part of that, why not take the pressure off of him running everywhere and just kind of managing the game from the middle when a guy like Roldan takes off to go help out and then Rusnak drops back or vice versa? Like, I think it could be, and like, I know there's concerns about what a wild card he is with those crazy action figure legs, but like, it seems like that could be a place where you could work with him to get strong.
I think I hear that. I think that you're, I think it's interesting because obviously what we've seen over the last couple of seasons that his strongest position is actually not playing on the left wing, right? Or as a left back.
Yeah.
His strongest position is actually in that back three as a center back, as a left-sided center back. Maybe even in a back two as a left-sided center back. Now, my concerns are kind of twofold, and now that you're, you know, laying it out like that more, I am even more concerned about it, because the one thing that we see, the obvious concern is, can Nuhu keep his stuff together so that if somebody does get past him, he doesn't immediately take him down and get a red card? But the second concern is we just talked about, he keeps making these runs forward and then turning around and passing the ball backwards. Something that, like, even if you're a defensive midfielder, you have to be able to do is get the ball forward to your midfielders that can carry the ball forward, or get the ball forward to even your forwards, right? Or your guys on the wing. I just don't think that he's shown in the last few matches that he can do that, especially in the last few matches. And I think, like, honestly, if we were talking about pulling somebody out of the defense because we're a little bit less thin back there right now, and that's not a Roman Torres joke, we're a little bit less thin in the defense, is like bring somebody up like Javier Arriaga, who's really good getting the ball forward, who can actually, I'm not suggesting that we actually do this because I don't think that it's necessary at this point. I think getting the roles right between Christian Roldan and Albert Rusnak and those guys is much more important. Getting guys like Obed Vargas back into the fold is going to be...
Getting good minutes. Yeah.
Getting Danny Leyva back in to the point where he's meaningfully contributing. I think like that stuff is going to be more important than a short-term fix. Like, let's see what Arriaga can do as a defensive midfielder, right?
Arriaga.
Arriaga.
Old Chewbacca back there.
Anyway, yeah, so I don't know. I like the idea of like moving guys around to see what they can do. We've done it. The Sounders have done it before, bringing players, you know, bringing center backs forward and bringing forwards back in order to play defense. But yeah, I don't know if Nuhu's the guy for that.
He's just aggressive and he makes big tackles and he doesn't have a ton of red cards, despite the fact that you're worried about his recklessness. Like, he's the guy that's in the box a lot and he doesn't have a ton of red cards for bad fouls or anything. And so, like, I just don't know if the data supports the idea that he might be a danger there. The game intelligence might be the issue, where I don't know what type of thinker he is while he's playing, or if he's just an instinct guy. Can he, like, look up the field and understand how the play is going to develop to get the ball to Lodeiro to be able to start making something happen? I just think that when a team, I'm looking right now, since the 3-0 loss at when Fartland was in town, the Sounders then continued by, they had three games shut out and then scored they've scored four goals in the last seven games. Like, you need more offensive production at a time that we're talking about the defense being weak as it is. But, like, how do you balance that out? You hope that Rui Diaz comes back and is useful now, which he should be. But you just need to find a way to generate more goals, and a guy like Rusnak or Roldan being stuck in the midfield is not going to be helpful. There's not a good answer because your JP is out, and he's obviously a gigantic hole that we have to fill, but... I'd like to see something else. But I do, to your point, like that you say that getting the minutes together, like, if we're going to stick with this, it's get Roldan and Rusnak playing now, so if the playoffs do happen, you've got a pair that's familiar with each other and knows how to cover for one another.
Well, and a couple things that, like, just a caveat, all of the dark cloud that seems to be hovering over the way, like, the Sounders' performances over the last month or so, is that...
Yeah.
Besides that 3-0 loss to Portland in was that early July, and a match against Dallas actually in May, the Sounders have not lost a game by more than one goal. So between those two games, every single game has been a one goal every single loss has been a one goal defeat, which in my opinion means that they're like these injuries. I think these injuries and these missing players are probably can account for that small gap. Now, soccer is a game of fine margins. You can't lose, like, you could lose every single game by one goal, and that doesn't mean that you were good, right? It means that you lost a bunch of games. You couldn't close them out, or you couldn't win, right? Like, look at the match against LAFC where the Sounders led and then gave up two goals and ended up losing. Now, LAFC right now, I think, is the best team in the league, top of the Sword Shield. So, like, and you're playing on the road. So there's, like, things there that can affect that. But when you look at the fact that the Sounders are pretty close and at the end of the day, after that match against FC Dallas, still above the playoff line, like talk about fine margins in the Western Conference right now. The Sounders with another win would be in third place.
Yeah, it's so tight. There's like such a huge gap between first and third, and then there's every win and loss and draw right now for the next five matches is such a big deal. So let me ask you this. Do you go out to these next few matches? Let's take a look at where they're all at, just to make sure we get this right, okay? So, played Seattle at home. They're on the road Saturday at noon against Atlanta, then back home the following Sunday against Real Salt Lake, and then on the road again to L.A. Okay, so for those next three matches, and then Portland, for those next few matches, do you go out there and try and defensively approach it so that way you try and take the point on the road in some of these places and you try to just add a couple more, or do you go out there and try and win these to try and open up the gap a little bit? If you're Schmetz right now, like, what's your game plan for the next few matches?
Well, I feel like based on what we've seen of Schmetz, there's a likelihood that he goes and approaches them defensively and try to protect what we have, try to protect the position that we're in. My problem with that is that historically we haven't seen the Sounders do that well enough. Think about in when the Sounders have a lead in games or they have a draw on the road that they're hoping to finish the game with. I feel like we've seen too many times where the Sounders sit back super defensively and soak up a ton of pressure, but the Sounders aren't super great at doing that. Especially when you have a defense like with Yamar and Arriaga, who thankfully had good games against Dallas last night. But we've seen over the last, over the July curse that hovers over the Sounders, that Yamar, I felt like, was just constantly out of position. Him and Nuhu are consistently screaming at each other, as well as Arriaga. It's like you have these players, like Yamar, I feel like I've seen so many times in all of these games, going up for a header and completely whiffing on it when there's somebody sitting at the back post who scores a goal. Right? Like, that's not something that I feel like
awful.
The Sounders...
It's like not marking tight enough, and I don't know anything.
I don't think that I don't think that sitting back and defending right now is going to be the Sounders' strong suit, especially when you have Raul Ruiz Diaz coming back to be able to contribute to the attack. I'm hoping that, Jordan Morris has never been the guy to be the focal point on an attack. He's always the guy that, like, can get a run in behind and stretch that defense so that you can allow more room for Ruiz Diaz, and you can even allow more room for Christian Roldan. So if you have Jordan Morris not being the guy that guys have to mark anymore, I think that Sounders actually have a little bit more in their arsenal to go forward. So I'm hoping that the idea, and I think if Schmetz is the kind of guy that isn't going to be content going into a match thinking, oh, we're just going to hopefully squeak out a win or a draw here.
It's people getting mad on the internet after anything happens at the match. It's this week in Fan Outrage. Welcome back, Fan Outrage.
Oh, I missed the Godzilla tweet. now, okay. So as we've said, the Sounders had a rough July. And I saw a tweet from somebody that said... all of these fans who are Schmetz out need to realize blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh my gosh, are we at the point? Are we at that point where people are calling for Brian Schmetzer's head? And of course we're not, right? Like, I mean, I know we haven't won, like I said, we haven't won a major trophy since May. So, people are going to be asking questions of the man. So I had to go and search for these people.
Did you know that since then we've been eliminated from another tournament? God, the U.S. Open Cup is nothing without us.
It's true. It's true.
By us, I mean the full 90 Soccer Time podcast. Welcome back.
Obviously. I mean, were we not podcasting around the Open Cup? That must be the issue. So I found plenty of tweets about people who are upset with Brian Schmetzer's tactics. And... So I'm just going to read a couple here because fan outrage is so fun. This from a person.
Can we please tweet when the Sounders make the playoffs? Can we please tweet at all of these people to be like,
you were saying? and again, like when the Sounders won the MLS Cup in 2016, right? They like squeaked into the playoff in sixth place. So, I think that it doesn't matter. I mean, as much as we would love the Sounders to finish top of the table every season, you know, anyway.
And win by 9-0 like I used to always predict. Like, yeah, we all want that. Yeah. Like, come on.
Schmetzer needs to pull this team together because they are not getting it done. Ninth place this last in the season isn't... Ninth place this late in the season isn't good enough. Yes, they won the CCL. Okay, so you know. But things are not going well. But teams live in the present, and right now it isn't good enough.
Well, let's hope that RB Pitch isn't secretly Garth Lagerway subtweeting. Can I do this one?
Yeah, but first of all, this person knows that we won the Champions League. Not only that, the first MLS team in history to do so. But things aren't going well, so Schmetz out.
Also, a team that's worth almost $1 billion because of the smart investing and all of the community time that they put back into it. And it's not just a big, evil, stupid business. It's actually like
a club you can feel good about. Yeah.
It's like all the right things and the hometown guy that coaches them to victory and like, yeah, okay, like, whatever. Time to resign, Brian Schmetzer. Again, zero imagination, no motivation, and the only reason LA didn't score 5 was Stefan in goal. Change strategy and lineup. Need a coach who can actually fire up the team. Have a winning mindset. They won the CCL! Yeah. They have 2-time champions underneath him. That's not, like, this team isn't doing anything. What are you, idiot?
Sorry, person,
I don't mean to call you an idiot.
But you do. This idea that, first of all, that Brian Schmetzer can't fire up a team is funny because I feel like he's a very motivational person. But also this idea that the only reason LA didn't score 5 was because Stefan Engel. It's like the only reason that
specify
we,
which one. Okay, is it Zach or is it Fry?
The only reason we didn't lose by a lot.
I meant Cleveland. I'm sorry.
The only reason we didn't lose by a lot is because of the way that we played. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, there's something
they
there,
they could have
right?
scored 51 goals if we would have only fielded 3 players.
Way to go.
But we didn't.
Way to go, Schmetz.
Schmetz Big Guns 69 420 is legend. And they will find a way when it's time for Schmetz to go to give him a path to retirement or to some sort of stake in the front office. But it's not going to be because they have a bad July and they're not in contention, even though with one win we see the team go from 8th to 5th or whatever. It's like that close. Settle down, everyone. Don't be dildos.
Now, there's two things. One, I don't feel like, you know, to be fair to these upset fans and to be fair to anybody who's watched and been disappointed by the results lately, the Sounders can only rest on the laurels of the Champions League win for so long, right? But I think, you know, a couple of months is definitely okay. I think that's acceptable for them to be able to do that.
Well, show some imagination. Create a ray gun that fixes ACLs so that way Giampaolo can get back out there faster. Why aren't you a knee surgeon?
Yeah.
Why aren't you a revolutionary stem cell therapist? God, if only you did that, then everything would be fine, you piece of snitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then the other thing that I'm curious about is I don't remember now because it feels like so much has changed. Obviously, within even the season that it happened, but since Siggy Schmidt was let go from the team, and Brian Schmetzer took over as interim, and then won the MLS Cup in that season after acquiring Nico Lodero, You know, Nico Lodero came
and look what happened. Ziggy Schmidt died. Do you want Brian Schmetzer to die?
I hope your answer isn't yes to that, anybody. But I guess I'm trying to remember back to, and I don't know if and why hasn't Brian Schmetzer revived Siggy Schmidt with his stem cell ACL research? Oh, he could do that needle in the back thing like we talked about on Nerd Talk Plus.
Oh yeah, with the spiders. Nerd Talk Plus. Yeah. Nerd Talk Plus Tuesdays live on the Odyssey app at 10 AM or download it now as a podcast.
All new episode. Do you remember what I mean, there was a string of bad results for the Sounders. It was the first bad half of the season that led to that firing of Ziggy Schmidt. But I don't think that the Sounders were at the time in a playoff position, having won already a major trophy in the season that he was fired.
Yeah, they might have won the Open Cup, but I don't know. Like, yeah. it feels like it was after the run of, because he came on in 16.
Yeah.
And it was 14 was the supporter shield. Yep.
And then 15 Sounders didn't win anything. And so I think that, like, you're kind of a victim of your own success, right? Like, Schmetzer now has three major trophies under his belt with the Sounders, and hasn't, you know, delivered the results that I guess would be expected of the team. A team that has won three major trophies like that, including the Cup of CONCACAF Cup. But I don't know. I think that, again, it's only been a couple of months. The Sounders are in the playoff zone for now, at least. And you know, performances aside, this club still has a lot of season left to play. I think if the Sounders were to miss their first playoffs in the same season that they won the CCL trophy, if they were to miss the playoffs for the first time in their history under Schmetz this season, I think that maybe I would understand these things a little bit more. But, like, hey, let's make sure. Let's just, like, see if we get there. And I have all the confidence in the world that it's going to happen.
Absolutely. All right, Brandon. Well, the match is Sunday at noon in Atlanta. So that's a 3 p.m. kick for them. 12 noon for us. A nice tasty lunch snack. And let's... Let me just beep out that word real quick. Boop, boop, boop. There we go. All right. That brings us... Nope. Don't remember how to do this show anymore. There we go. Well, in case this podcast was too long and you didn't listen, it's too long, didn't listen.
Too long, didn't listen.
You say that and then I respond.
Oh, yeah. Too long, didn't listen.
Gluey's back, baby! Woo! Too long, didn't listen.
Gregor wants a sexy orca?
I think you're the one who talked at length about a sexy orca. I just want a professional costume.
I want.
You're like, listen, not that I know too much about furries, just about the correct size of their anatomy, but I'm just saying that the sexy thing is what we need.
I mean,
oh, we didn't talk about Jordan Morris getting wrecked.
Too long, didn't listen, because we didn't talk about it. Jordan Morris got wrecked.
Too long, didn't listen. Schmetz out! Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. It says Schmetz House.
Schmetz House.